Psalm 121. I've often said, and I believe the record of Scripture bears it out, the only place a sinner will worship is at the throne of a sovereign, holy God. The only place a sinner will truly worship is at the throne of the Almighty, sovereign God. Religion in our day has reinvented God. They've got a God that's different than the God that's described in Holy Scripture. They don't like him, so they reinvented another God that kind of comes down to their level. A God that they can manipulate and control. Our God in the heavens, he had done whatsoever he had pleased, when he pleases, with whom he pleases, as he pleases, all the time. He always does all his pleasure. He always works all things after the counsel of his own will. Never makes a mistake. Everything he does is right and on time. As Jacob or Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh yeah, all the time. He will do right. So I'm taking the title for the message from Psalm 121. From verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. And as I pointed out in the reading, that word can also be rendered preserver. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. The Lord shall keep us. The Lord shall preserve us. What a great thought. He'll keep us from falling. You remember that Scripture over in the book of Jude where it said he's able to keep us from falling? He's the only one who can. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us. You think about that. Before the Father, faultless, holy, unblameable in his sight. He's able to keep us, kept by the power of God. What a wonderful, comforting thought. The Lord who saves us shall certainly keep us. We were lost. He found us. He won't let us go. He will preserve us. He will bring us home all the way to glory. We read in 1 Peter, we're kept by the power of God. Chapter 1, verse 5, and then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says that Christ suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. And that's what he does. He brings us unto God. And I like this scripture too, found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, that the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's the God of all grace. Grace is sovereign grace. Sovereign mercy. He will have mercy on whom he will. He gives us all grace now. Daily grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. He gives us all grace now, and then he gives us glory forever. Can it get any better? He gives us himself. He gave himself for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, and he loved us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us in love before the foundation of the world. Now think about this. We were kept by the power of God even before we knew him. He knew us. He preserved us and kept us. Even before we knew the true and living God, he kept us and preserved us until the time he crossed our path and revealed himself unto us. And I get that from the scripture where it says in 2 Timothy 1:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Remember what it said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. I ordained you. I kept you. We're kept by the power of God. Before we ever heard the gospel, learned the gospel, before we ever had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were kept in him, preserved in him, justified in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't understand those religious people who think the Lord cannot keep those for whom he's redeemed. Those who think they are kept by their own puny, sinful, fleshly efforts or works. It must be and can only be that they don't know the true and living Christ of God. Our Lord said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. That sounds like we're preserved and kept, doesn't it? And then he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of his hand. Now that sounds to me like we're kept and preserved. Doesn't it sound that way to you? His covenant is an everlasting covenant of grace whereby we are given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant. He's made the surety of that everlasting covenant, the sacrifice of that covenant. He saved his people by his grace. Listen to this promise. It's Isaiah 54. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. Oh, the hills and the mountains, they're going to be removed. But his covenant of mercy, his kindness, will never be removed from us. You see, we're kept. We're loved in Christ with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he does draw us unto himself. Now, this psalm clearly sets forth that blessed Bible doctrine. We find all through the scripture that salvation that we so desperately need is of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is all our help, all our hope, all our happiness, all of our salvation now and forevermore. Notice what it says in verse 8, Psalm 121, verse 8. This we have in Christ is not some kind of temporary thing. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. Look at verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, forward, this time forth, and even for evermore. Evermore. Now look at verse 1. I will lift up my eyes. I will lift up my eyes. These are eyes of faith. The eyes of faith look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated on that holy hill of Zion. David is not saying that I look to the high mountains around Jerusalem or any other physical mountain. He says, I'm looking to the Lord who is on the high, holy throne of God, and he is my help. He is all my salvation. My help cometh from the Lord, and my salvation comes from the Lord. He's the one who made heaven. Now, if he can make heaven, make earth, it shouldn't be any problem for him to save us by his grace and then keep us. Keep us. The lifting up of the eyes here is a prayer, gesture, and it's expressive of boldness and confidence. Looking to the Lord as our hope, as our help, and all of our salvation. I quote that verse in Hebrews 4 all the time, verse 16, where it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, seeing that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ." Prayed in John 17, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee." What did he do? He lifted up his eyes and set his heart and affection upon God Almighty, his Father. With eyes of faith, the believer looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, beside me there is no other. To whom coming?" We coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not something physically we do, but with eyes of faith and in our heart, we're always coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're always looking to him, believing him. The instruction of the Lord unto us is to look to him for help and hope in Christ. I noticed when reading some of these Psalms, look right across the page and down at the bottom. If you have the Cambridge, I'm reading Psalm 124, look at verse 8. You see it there? Psalm 124, verse 8. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." He's the great creator. He made all things. He is our help. He is our hope at all times. So when cometh my help? Well, my help comes from the Lord. And we certainly do need help, don't we? In Psalm 46, don't turn, let me read it to you. "God is our refuge and strength." Psalm 46, verse 1. "A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy places of the Most High, tabernacles of the Most High." God is our refuge. God is our help. God is our strength. We are not instructed to look within. All we see as we look within our own selves is despair, sin, and depravity. We say with Paul, "O wretched man that I am," God-given faith always looks outside of self. We say faith is objective. That is, we look at Christ, who's the object of faith. Save me faith doesn't look here. Save me faith looks back to the giver of faith. Who's the giver of faith? He's the author and finisher of faith. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down on the throne of God. We look to him, don't we? Now, the hills that are mentioned here are not physical hills. Now, I have a weakness about looking at mountains. I like looking at mountain ranges. I have my favorite mountain ranges that I love to go in and look at. The Sawtooth Mountains in Idaho are beautiful. The Wind River Mountain Range in Wyoming, that's another beautiful mountain range. The Wasatch Mountain Range in northern Utah is a beautiful mountain range. And I love looking at those mountains, but that's not my help or my hope. The mountains and the hills that he's talking about is the sovereign, holy throne of God. It says over here in Psalm 2, I think it's verse 6, God said, "I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." And that's talking about the sovereign throne of Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the hill of his sovereign purpose. It's the hill of his immutable promises that are exceeding great and precious. The hill of his covenant mercies, ordered in all things and assured. The hill of his grace. My help comes from Him. That's a good place. If you need help, wouldn't you call upon someone who could help you? You wouldn't call upon someone who is unable to do anything for you. If you really need help, you'll call upon someone who is able to help you. And in the realm of salvation, it's the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He states in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. How big is the Lord? How great is the Lord? Well, the Lord is the one who created heaven. I was looking at something the other day about the Hubble telescope, how it looked into the deep recesses of space, 160 million light years away. I can't even think in that kind of realm. But God created all things by the word of His power. And we can invent all these scientific things and we can just get a glimpse of who God is. He's the one who created and made the heaven by the word of His power. And He created the earth and everything in it. Man upon it. God created man. Let us make man in our image. Even though this flesh and this body is frail, weak, dying, it's still a marvelous thing to behold. I heard the other day that medical science never had any cure for any disease until 1855. It took them that long to finally figure out how to cure some disease. You know, they're still trying to figure this thing out. A wise doctor told me, who had practiced for many years, he said, medicine is not a perfect science. We're still practicing. We're still learning. And that's true. That's true. But just think how glorious the heavens are. The heavens of heaven cannot contain the Lord. And how each intimate detail in the whole creation, the order of the universe, the seasons, the day, the time, the sun, the moon, all these things are in exact order. Every year, the stars in their courses, I mean, they can navigate on that North Star because it never moves. Why doesn't it move? God doesn't move. He put it there. And He said, you stay right there. You know, Scripture says He knows every star by name. He said, North Star, you stay right there. Still there. Still there. This is the one, the mighty Creator God, who created man and put man upon the earth, who created all things by the word of His power. He's the only one who can help us. He is our helper. Now, that encourages me. I need help. I need help. I need help in every way. I cannot save myself. I cannot keep myself. No man can. So my help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord, the only one who can help. Our hope is in Jehovah, for our help comes from Him. Help is on the road and will not fail to reach us in due time. For He sends it to us. He who sends it to us was never late, never known to be late. While it is vain to trust the creature, it is wise to trust the Creator, said Charles Spurgeon. Look at verse 3. He will not suffer, or He will not permit thy foot to be moved. You know what it says over there in the book of Deuteronomy somewhere about the ungodly? He said their foot will slide in due time. Look that up sometime. Their foot will slide in due time. But he says here, that foot, he will not permit that foot to be moved. You see, we're fastened to the rock. And that rock is Christ. We're fixed on Christ. He's a solid rock. To move the believer, you got to move the rock. That's not going to happen. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord will not permit us to be moved from the foundation that he has established. You remember that verse in Isaiah 28:16 where it said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall never be moved." Never be ashamed, never be confounded, as that verse is quoted in the New Testament. Let's turn to this one. Turn back here to Psalm 62. I call Psalm 62 the only psalm. The only psalm, you remember? And the reason I call it the only psalm, because that word is repeated so many times. Psalm 62, verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." You see what he's saying here? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee, he didn't slumber or sleep. Behold, he that keepeth thee will never... You'll never be caught sleeping on the job. Never. The Lord will not permit us to be moved from the foundation he has established. The Lord is our keeper. He's never asleep. He never vacates his post. He never vacates his throne. Remember Elijah mocked those priests of Baal, those prophets of Baal, when they cried and cried and cried, jumped up and down and cut themselves and said, "Oh, Baal, hear us." You remember what Elijah said? "Won't you cry a little bit louder? Maybe your God's asleep." You see, he knew Jehovah never slumbers, never sleeps. The Lord is our keeper. He never vacates his throne. He keeps us by his holy power, kept by the power of God. He preserves us by his sovereign grace. He holds us by his mighty hand. None can stay his hand or say to him, "Lord God, what doest thou?" He guides us by his holy word. The word is a lamp and light unto our feet. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will never forsake us," he said. No, never. He will never leave us. Notice verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper." He just keeps on saying this, doesn't he? The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon your right hand. The Lord is the shade. We rest under the shade of his almighty power. The Lord is not only our Savior and keeper, he's our refuge. He's our righteousness. He's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our refuge. A shelter in a time of storm. He's our refuge. We run to him and rest. We are safe and secure under the shadow of his almighty wings. God has wings. Symbolically, he does. We rest under his wing. Turn back to Psalm 91. Like those little chicks under the wings of the mother hen when the storm comes up. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I'll trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise of the pestilent. He shall cover thee with a feather, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. He is our shield. He is our refuge. He is our hiding place. As the Lord provided for the children of Israel, 40 years in that wilderness journey, when they came through the Red Sea, being delivered from Egyptian bondage, 40 years they dwelt in that wilderness. All those men that were 21 or 20 years or older, in that 40 years they all died with the exception of two men, Joshua and Caleb. But the Lord provided for them in that wilderness journey those 40 years. They had food from heaven. They had water out of the rock. It says their shoes never wore out. Their clothes didn't wear out. The Lord provided for them, gave them that cloud during the daytime, shade and refuge from the heat. At night, they had that pillar of fire that gave them warmth and light at night. The Lord provided for them, didn't he? Even so, and more so, does the Lord provide a refuge for us, a shelter in the time of storm. He is the shade upon thy right hand. The Lord protects us from the flaming sword of God's justice. He provides all things for us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He provides protection from the flaming sword of God's justice. And the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins in his own body on the tree and bare the wrath of God against our sin in his own body. He protects us from the fiery penalty of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He protects us from the holy wrath of God to come. He delivered us from the wrath of God to come. He's not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He protects us from the fiery darts of Satan. He gives us the shield of faith. Look at verse 6. Psalm 121, the sun shall not smite thee, S-U-N, shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Christ is our shelter, our salvation, our refuge and righteousness all the time, day or night. Day or night. 24/7. He's always on the job. His ever-present protection never ceases, never is diminished, but rather is always prevailing, precious, and present day or night. The heat of the sun or the coolness of the night doesn't matter. Day or night make up all time. Thus, the ever-present protection, his ever-present protection never ceases. All evil may be ranked as under the sun or the moon. If neither can smite us, then indeed we are secure. We live under the sun and under the moon. The sun or the moon shall not smite thee. Day or night, the Lord protects us and watches over us. Look at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil and from the evil one. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy soul. We have a body. Man has a body. But he is a soul. That's what he is. He's a soul. We have a body. But the Lord shall preserve us, body, soul, and spirit. He's redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. This word preserve here is the same word that's translated keep or keeper. It means to protect, to guard, to hedge about. To hedge about. I just recently read through the book of Job. And if you go to Job chapter 1, when the Lord and Satan are having that conversation about Job, and the Lord said, hey, have you ever considered my servant Job? He's upright, and he hates evil, and he believes me, and he trusts me. And Satan comes back and said, yeah, you put a hedge upon him. You put a hedge around him. I can't get to him. Satan said, well, you just remove that hedge and he'll curse thee to your face. Job never did. Job never did. But you see, the point is, God put a hedge around Job. And Satan could not touch him without God's permission. Without God's permission. The Lord prayed for us in John 17. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. We're no match for Satan. Remember our Lord said to Peter, Satan had desire to sift you like wheat. Oh, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He shall preserve our soul. If our soul is kept and saved by the sovereign power of God, all is well. We're going to sing that in a minute, I think. It's well with my soul. For Christ redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Verse 7, he shall preserve thy soul. And then he says it again in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out. He just keeps saying it. Preserve thee, kept. It seems like he's abundantly overstating this that we might hear a word from him. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, how many times have you went out of your house and come back home? How many times have you went to work out of your house and come back home? I mean, that's a lot of times. How many times have you got out of bed and then came back home and went back to bed? The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and for even evermore. Out of youth and inexperience in old age, the Lord shall preserve thee. He shall keep us, preserve us in all our goings and all our comings. We have the guarantee of the Holy Blessed Trinity. I think that's why it said three times there in verse 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't think it's any accident. We're kept by the triune God. You remember Psalm 37 said, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. He has blessed us abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this time, right now, blessed with all spiritual blessings, right now, and even for... What does it say there? Even for as long as you hold out. As long as you do the best you can, God's going to bless you. Thank God it doesn't say that. You see, our blessings are not conditioned upon our obedience. Our blessings are conditioned upon the faithfulness of Christ. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for a long time. Evermore. How long is that? Make it as long as you want. All eternity. All eternity. You are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth, it says in Psalm 115. The Lord not only preserves His people in this life, but in heaven and to all eternity. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when He saves us, it's not temporary amnesty. It's eternal life. It's everlasting salvation. The whole church is thus everlastingly secured and preserved. And because we're kept and preserved, the saints of God, they persevere. They continue in the faith because they're kept by the power of God. How many, turn to John chapter 6. I'll quit with this. How many of those given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant of grace, John chapter 6, verse 37. How many of those who were given to Christ in that covenant of grace and for whom the Lord Jesus Christ successfully redeemed their soul and put away their sin, how many of them will be lost? Will any of them be lost? Let's see what it says here. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he had given me I should lose. What's that word? Nothing. Raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. His promises are certain, sure. All the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen, and to the glory of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we end this year, 2022, and begin the new year, 2023, let us always look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our keeper. He will preserve us. He will bless us in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.